Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Okay, welcome into the Labatt Studio. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Happy New Year, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We're glad you found the Keystone Sports Network. We've got a big show coming up for you. All Penn State talk over the next 60 minutes. I'm Andy Shea. Joining me for this extravaganza is Bob Flounders. Back from Dallas, he's a Penn State football beat writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News and Ross the Boss. Ross Tucker is here. Don't forget, you can get all our content on our website, download our app from the App Store, find us on Spotify, or give us a follow on Twitter at KSN Sportsnet. So, gentlemen, let's not waste any time. Let's get rolling. First of all, Happy New Year. How are each of you?
Happy New Year.
Great to be here. Great to see you guys.
News and notes are going to kick us off. Plenty to talk about there. Tucker's tape. We're going to review the Cotton Bowl from Ross's eyes. That's brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Quarter three is your questions, his answers. Ask Ross. That's presented by 409tailgateclub.com. And in quarter four, we're going to close out our recap of the Cotton Bowl because we just have a lot of football to talk about. So let's start with some news and notes. Goes right to you, Ross. Penn State offensive line coach Matt Limegrover was fired. Penn State chose not to renew his contract. That in renew his contract, open up the position is the modern day term for fired. He came to Penn State in 2016 from Minnesota, took over from Herb Hand, 4 years as the offensive line coach, seemed to do some of his best work this year. But your take, Ross, was it surprising that he was not retained as an assistant coach? And I guess the bigger reason is, what are you hearing and maybe why?
Yeah, so in fairness, first of all, it's my understanding his contract was up, so correct, he wasn't technically fired.
Technically.
But they're not renewing
they're
him.
They're not renewing his contract.
I'm pretty confident he wanted to come back, and he's not. My initial reaction was one of surprise. I thought, and we've talked about it, I thought it was the best offensive line Penn State's had, probably under Franklin.
Yeah.
I thought every individual player got better. So I wonder if the writing was on the wall when Franklin had like NFL assistant coaches and stuff come in the spring to take a look at the guys. I mean, I had read that some NFL guys came in. You know, for all we know, maybe one of those NFL guys said, James, if you ever want somebody, I'd love to do it.
There you go.
You know, because here's the thing. They know who they're going to hire. And it's not me, by the way. All of you are very funny on social media, including our boss, Jim Galante. They know who it's going to be, and it's not me. And you don't make this move unless you know who it's going to be, right? So it would really surprise me if they didn't know. Now, I think maybe they wait a week sometimes to sort out the contract stuff or to at least give the – I don't say illusion, but
the appearance
that the job is available, right? Correct. I just don't see how you don't renew them unless you already know how they, you know,
what
who you're going to hire.
Yeah.
But I would say ultimately very surprised because I thought every individual got better. I thought it was the best that they had been in quite some time. Mennett and Fries coming back, I think speaks well to Limegrover. I think they're taking a major risk because if every individual and the unit is trending upwards, I don't know why you switch out of that unless you have somebody in mind that you think is much better, or maybe it's a recruiting thing. Maybe they didn't think Limegrover was great as a recruiter. I don't know that. You know, it just seems like certain positions recruiting, you know, offensive coordinator and like offensive line coach, they're not typically the biggest recruiters.
Correct.
It's more, those are guys that it's more important what they put on the field. There's other positions that there's much more of a premium put on the recruiting aspect of it. So I don't know. I don't know that we'll ever know. Do you guys get a chance to talk to Franklin anytime soon?
Russ, I just want to make it clear. So you were not offered the job.
No.
Okay.
No.
I was kind of kidding. I just thought, you know, it was surprising, but the offensive line coach it's a job where as you look about kind of what he did, it's development all year round, but it's also what happens in games. And I remember, you know, at the start of the season, James talked about the need to adjust in game faster. And there were some times I thought in games early where it looked like the offensive line really didn't know what they were doing when it came to, you know, either it was a pass protection or it was a blitz or it was a It was a blitz, or, you know, there were some times in the Buffalo game, in the Pittsburgh game, if you remember that. And then I would just say, I don't know if it was, and Ross, you can talk about this too. I don't know if it was Ricky Ronnie, or I don't know if it was Matt Limegrover, but I still can't shake the plan against Ohio State and Chase Young when they left Will Fries alone.
On
just alone, and they paid dearly for it. I just was really curious about it. Did not look like they had a game plan for Chase Young, and I don't. Maybe that was Ricky's idea. Maybe it was mutual. But I just wonder if it's a big picture thing, not just a development thing, and what goes on in games, and also when you get a new offensive coordinator, much like when Joe Moorhead came in. Does he kind of have some ideas of his own about what he wants from the offensive line and how they would like maybe to perform? And does he have a guy that maybe he likes?
That's the last thing I was going to say is that in addition to the recruiting maybe, or maybe Franklin has an NFL guy in mind that was there visiting in last spring, you know, they might have said to Shiraka, do you have anybody you really want to bring that you really think is a difference maker? And or they might have said, here's the guys whose contracts are up. And Shiraka might say, look, I need my own O-line guy. Because right. I would tell you that coordinators, their O-line guy is very, very important to them. So at this point, I think I'd be surprised if the guy doesn't either have ties to Shiraka or was one of the NFL guys there in the spring. That would be my prediction.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Quarter number one, Ross Tucker.
Well, I just want to make one more point here.
Sure.
Because it's been established the last couple weeks that, you know, I talk with Andy Frank, who's a college teammate of mine sometimes, and I talk with Franklin every once in a while. I just want to be really clear, like for the purposes of this show, I don't ever ask them questions like that. Because I don't want to put them in the position where they have to lie to me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I don't want to blur those lines to the point where they're like, if I am talking to them, they got to worry about what they're going to say because I might use it on the Keystone Sports Network. You know what I mean? Like I want them to be able to speak freely to me. So in a situation like this, I won't say to them, why'd you fire Limegrover or who are you going to hire next? Because I know that they can't tell me that yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like picture having a friendship with somebody. You don't want to be in a situation where you're putting your friend in a bad spot where they have to lie to you or be like, come on, dude, you know, I can't tell you that. You know right. what I mean? Like
you're talking all about football, but what you talk about goes absolutely nowhere.
Right. And I don't put them in positions where they have to
answer
be less than honest.
Question. Right. Yeah. So, all right, let's keep moving with news and notes. Redshirt sophomore K.J. Hamler has declared for the NFL draft. He led Penn State in catches, yards, and receiving touchdown this season, and kick return yards erased by penalties. That was one of them. But this is no surprise at all. I mean, if you look at it, how's it going to get any better for K.J. staying another year? And it's not going to get any better. It might get worse, but it's certainly not going to get any better for him. This was a really easy decision as far as I thought, and I thought it was the right one.
He is and always will be dangerous in space, and
yes.
Another year at Penn State won't change that. He's not the biggest guy in the world, and I just think that, you know, he's leaving Penn State with a nice little resume, and he's very healthy, and I think the NFL very much values guys, even with that body type, because, man, if they get the ball – it doesn't matter college or pros. They're really tough to catch. He's a dangerous player.
The only thing I would disagree with Andy is I do think it could get better for him.
Oh, I agree.
Because this is a historic wide receiver class. And I don't think people are going to take him over CeeDee Lamb
right.
from Oklahoma or Jerry Jeudy from Alabama. And so you start to go down the line – and how many teams are looking to draft a wide receiver in the first round? And how many guys is he behind? I would be shocked if he doesn't go by midway through the second round. And in my mind, he absolutely made the right decision. But I don't know what next year's receiving class has.
Right.
Depends on how many of these Alabama guys go pro and stuff. But he could be a higher pick next year and be a Heisman candidate and be a guy that helps to get a team to a college football playoff for the first time. So it could be better for him. But if he was my brother, he would be going pro.
Tariq Castro Fields is not going to the NFL. Two-year starter at cornerback. Joins a list of players that have announced that they are going to return to Penn State. He waited until after the bowl game. I didn't see him as a draft prospect the way he played.
Did not close it out strong. I thought, you know, he had his moments, but he also had some moments that were really bad. I'm sure the feedback, if he asked for it, probably wasn't necessarily favorable. And I would say this, he was a third year player who can absolutely make a jump in the fourth year. I don't know if you guys remember, but in 2016, Amani Arawarie was Penn State's fourth corner, and he got picked on a lot. I thought he did not have a great year. The next year, I think he was a second-team All-Big Ten corner, and then he stayed for a fifth year, and he was a first-team All-Big Ten corner. So I think Tariq can get better. I think the skills are there, but I just think that how he played this year, especially down the stretch, did not really – I think it was a common-sense move that I'm glad that he made.
Yeah, I mean, he's – like I'd almost put him in the Will Fries category, where I really don't know how good of a prospect that he was.
Right.
I know he's got good size and moves well, but he really struggled tackling. He struggled in coverage sometimes. I don't sit here and study all the college corners, but there's got to be a decent amount of guys that are better than him.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be. I mean, I can tell you right now, Ohio State has four guys that are way better than him. Okuda, Sean Wade, Arnett, Ohio State, the guy they brought in against Clemson, who didn't play for them, they bring him in after Wade, he's better than Castro Fields. I mean, he was good.
Yeah. He was good.
He came in, I was like, this guy is good. So he made the right decision because he has physical ability and could put it together next year and be much better.
And real quick, it'll be interesting to see what his place is at Penn State next year, because they had three freshman corners they liked a lot. Joey Porter they like. So he might have his work cut out for him a little bit to get back into James Franklin's good graces.
All right, that'll do it for quarter number one. A lot to talk about from the Labatt Blue Studio. Stick around. We're going to review the Cotton Bowl with Tucker's Tape in quarter number two to keep us rolling. So come on back.
With the college bowl games and pro football playoffs approaching, what better way to celebrate than treating your guests to the best in barbecue with the rubs and sauces from 409tailgateclub.com. They also have great gift boxes. And don't forget the famous 409 Tailgate Club Bloody Mary Mix. To top it off, if you go to 409tailgateclub.com, use code KSN for a special discount just for Keystone Kickoff listeners. That's 409tailgateclub.com, and remember to use code KSN.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.